The longest-running performing arts organization in America is famous for its Handel's Messiah. Boston's Handel and Haydn Society has been performing the piece for more than a century, as it will again this holiday season. And tonight, it will celebrate its 200th anniversary. WBUR's Andrea Shea reports on the history and evolution of H&H.
Historically informed performance, HIP for short, is how the Handel and Haydn Society defines what it does. Its professional singers and players try to create a musical time machine by making choral compositions sound like they did in the Baroque and classical periods from 1600 to 1830. Flash back 200 years from today to the H&H beginning. Executive Director Marie-Hélène Bernard says passionate amateur singers and musicians who founded the society were doing something contemporary with popular sacred music.
In 1815, Haydn has been dead for about 6 years. His music is still very much in vogue in Europe, and these musicians really wanted to bring it to America.
The Society's first concert was Christmas Day, 1815, at King's Chapel in Boston. A few years later, Handel and Haydn broke new ground with the first U.S. performances of Handel's Messiah and Haydn's Creation.
H&H gave the premiere of many works that are now part of the regular repertoire, but that was new in the days. Bach, St. Matthew Passion, Verdi Requiem, which was first heard in the U.S. here in Boston with the Handel and Haydn Society, first performance of Beethoven 9.
In 1823, the Society requested a commission from Beethoven, but the composer died before he could do it. Handel and Haydn performed at historic occasions, including memorial services for Presidents John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and John Quincy Adams, also at the Emancipation Proclamation celebration in 1863. Ralph Waldo Emerson orated. Through those years, the Society focused on the power and beauty of the human voice.
I'm a soprano with the Handel and Haydn Society chorus, and that was "O Sleep, Why Dost Thou Leave Me" from Handel's Semele.
Vocalist Brenna Wells says she's honored to be part of an organization steeped in history.
The transformations, the incarnations the society has been through, I just think it's amazing that it's still here.
There have been ups and downs, infighting, and financial struggles along the way. The chorus's role has changed, too. For the first 100 years of its existence, the voice dominated the society's aesthetic. Jump to the 1960s when one brutal review stoked a major modification. Boston Globe classical music critic Jeremy Eichler explains that piece came from another Globe reviewer named Michael Steinberg.
What Steinberg knew was that there was this whole thing out there called the early music movement, and that it was taking shape in places like New York, where conductors like Thomas Dunn were thinking about this repertoire in entirely new ways. They were trying to figure out the numbers, how many singers were involved in these performances back in the composer's own days.
Thomas Dunn, the conductor Eichler just mentioned, became H&H's music director in 67. He embraced the historically informed performance idea by shrinking the chorus to about 30 singers. Here's a recording of a Messiah performance Dunn led in 77. Another major change came in 1986 when Christopher Hogwood, an early music devotee, came on as music director. He had the musicians make the switch from modern to period instruments. That's Robert Nairn playing the double bass. He's been with H&H for 11 years.
The instrument that I'm using for the current program is a copy of an instrument that was built in 1730 in Vienna. It has frets, it has five strings. This is technically what's called a violone, so it's a precursor of the double bass in some ways.
Nair's bow is from the 1700s, and his instrument's five strings, modern double basses have four, are made of sheep gut.
It has a much raspier sound, but it also has a lot richer, many more high harmonics that ring off. It's got a great deal of color. It's very different from metal strings.
The downside to sheepgut strings is that they go out of tune constantly. Christopher Hogwood left Handel and Haydn in 2001, but the current music director, Harry Christophers, has continued to embrace period instruments, and he says he'll be thinking of Hogwood, who died just 2 weeks ago, at this weekend's performance.
What he did was quite staggering, and it's tragic, but in many ways we can use that as a wonderful celebration of his work and what he did for the society.
H&H has been performing The Messiah every year since 1854. To celebrate its 400th performance and the 200th anniversary, Handel and Haydn is releasing this new recording. An exhibition about the society's history opens at the Boston Public Library in March. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.
The Handel and Haydn Period Orchestra and Chorus take the stage at Symphony Hall tonight and Sunday afternoon.